Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Would you guys...
That is the extent of what Sean knows about hockey, by the way.
Same.
Barry Melrose. And the other fella that used to host SportsCenter. Now he is the play-by-play guy.
Steve Levy.
That guy. Yeah, I liked him before he did hockey.
Funny.
Yeah, he was funny. I saw this article. We probably all got this email for those of you that check the company email on a regular, like I do, only to very quickly delete them because none of them pertain to me.
I think all three of us right here probably do pretty regularly. Clint, Ron, no.
I got this email yesterday from NFL.com, and it was teams that had the best offseason, teams to improve the most this offseason in the NFL. And you know this, I talk about it all the time. Not this offseason, but the two prior, I felt like the Texans were at the top, if not near the top of the list for what they did in free agency and the draft. But
well, they went from second worst record in the league to 10 wins, division title.
Sure. But
then they went to, you know what? We're going to do the exact same thing, except we're going to do it without an offensive line. We're going to raise the difficulty times 10.
Yeah.
We're going from rookie level to mega hard.
Yeah.
We're just going to scrap the offensive line.
It's a bold strategy, Cotton.
And we're going to do it again.
Yeah, and do it again without, you know, basically for the entirety of the second half of a season, without Tank Dell.
Without
Stephon Diggs.
Without anything resembling a number two receiver.
Without, I mean, it was just a body in the way, kind of. A right guard, Shaq Mason.
Turnstile.
Yeah.
It was parked car.
It was pretty wild, but keep that like mindset.
And we're not even about regular parked cars. We're talking about like lemons, right? Like there was a Pinto, and there was a Gremlin, and there was a Yugo. Like these were not Cadillacs out there just parked in front. These were the worst cars of all time.
I disagree.
Rusting out.
Shaq Mason was more so like
a Chevy Chevette.
He was a really... You were happy with that car, you know, in 2023. It ran really well. It still looked really good.
All right, it's a Chevy Monza.
It functioned, but then, like, that same model car that you have came out in 2024, and it changed the body style completely, and all of a sudden, you start looking at that, and you're like, damn, I want that. My car's a piece of crap, you know? I got to get rid of this thing. It's old. It's not in style anymore. And you start... Talk bad about your car, it's going to not treat you very well. You know, you need to change the spark plugs. It's got an oil leak. You know, it just doesn't run very well anymore. You need to replace the radiator. That's what happened to Shaq Mason.
So it was, he's a Chevy Corvair.
Corvair, not a Corvette.
Not a Corvette, a Corvair.
Corvair, what the hell is that? I don't even want to know. Was that like one of those El Camino looking things?
No, El Caminos are badass.
Well, the fixed up ones, they can be badass. The Texans, to me, in my opinion, are not yet near... Certainly not at the top of this list in terms of teams that you'd like to talk about as having improved the most this offseason. But I want to know from you guys, and you can weigh into 713-572-4610, if you think not could the Texans be like retroactively at or near the top of this list at season's end, but don't they need to be? Don't they absolutely need to have been one of the teams to improve the most this offseason, not just because of the offensive line, though?
Sean, here's the crazy thing about the Texans. Like, we were talking about most improved teams.
The arrow's pointed up.
Even if they are significantly improved, what does that look like in terms of wins and losses? Right? Because they won 10 games.
Mm-hmm.
Even if they improved significantly, does that mean they win 13 games? Because the difference to me between a 10-win team and a 12-win team is pretty significant. And if you go from 12 to 14, it's like another exponential leap. It's only two wins, but it's an exponential leap. You're a 14-win team. That I think the Texans could be highly improved and it might only result in three wins more. But I just think 13-4 is incredibly better than 10-7 is. That being said, I think they are right now greatly improved at the wide receiver position. I think they are greatly improved at the running back position. And I am praying to Lord above and baby Jesus that they are much improved on the offensive line.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's the big one for a lot of people. I think for the Texans to have been much improved in all of those areas, we have to see the season play out. There is giant question marks about the offensive line. There's a giant question mark about the Texans really at running back right now, today as we stand, because all we know about Joe Mixon is the last time somebody saw him, he was in a walking boot. And the Texans signed Nick Chubb, who's coming off of a torn ACL a couple of years ago, a broken foot last year. And how much does this guy have left in the tank? And then there's Damian Pierce, who hadn't done jack squat since his rookie year.
He had an excellent week 17.
And then, oh, by the way,
week 18.
The wide receiver situation, different outside of Nico Collins. Here's Christian Kirk. You don't know what to expect from him, though I feel like fans probably should have a better idea what to expect than they actually have in their minds. Yeah, he missed a lot of games last year. It was a broken collarbone. It wasn't a ruptured Achilles or a torn ACL or anything like that. And he's been really good. But behind him, it's question marks. Jaden Higgins, Jalen Knoll, Dalton Schultz is a question mark in terms of how impactful he can really be. You can kind of go on and on down the list. And yes, it's very offensive centric. The Texans seem to do and press all the right buttons defensively. They've got a hell of a starting point, you know, as of 2 years ago, and they continue to some way, somehow just continue to stack more talent. They've added Sheldon Rankins again. They've added CJ Gardner-Johnson. They've, added EJ Speed, depth at linebacker. Maybe they still need to do a little bit more work in terms of adding depth to the secondary at corner specifically, because beyond Kamari Lassiter and Derek Stingley and MJ Stewart, who's played a pretty impactful role the last couple of years as a depth piece, Damon Arnett, okay, whatever. Like, you need insurance for the insurance in the case of him, and more on him later. Your key losses, Laremy Tunsil, Shaq Mason, Stephon Diggs, and you could include Tank Dell, I guess, because of injury, and he's not going to be playing this year. I could understand that. At the end of this season, for the Texans to accomplish what we one, expect them to. One, obviously hope that they do. They're going to have to hit on many more of these things, players, changes, than not. And we didn't even mention new offensive coordinator, new play caller, and offensive line coach in Cole Popovich, I don't think.
Let me ask, what do you think about the amount of praise being thrown at Cole Popovich? I mean, Titus Howard can't stop talking about it. So, the Texans have very much, and we've heard it with Kaylee, too. To a man, everybody in the offense can't stop talking about how impressed they are with Nick Kaylee, who has done zero regular season work here. How much they love Cole Popovich, who was an assistant here last year, but now he's the head guy. And does live credence to the idea of there was tension in that offensive line room,
mm-hmm.
that the head offensive line coach and the assistant were not on the same page, that the linemen were not on the same page. And I do think it speaks volumes about what the Texans believe were their biggest issues last year on offense, that the OC is gone, the offensive line coach is gone, and the guys that were looked at as more finesse technique type offensive linemen are out,
mm-hmm.
and they replace them with guys who they believe are more mauler type offensive linemen.
What do I think about it? I'll be honest with you. When I first heard Titus Howard,
Sean, this is a talk show. You don't tell us what you think.
Okay. right.
You never tell us what you think.
Okay. So what should I do now? I'm Stuke. I don't know what to do. I thought of one guy, and it's not similar really in any way. It's already difficult because it's a cross-sport reference, but Joe Espada, because he was an incumbent before he became manager of the Astros, yeah, just like Cole Popovich.
He's came to my mind for a long time
because he had that relationship, the respect from a lot of the players in the clubhouse, just like Cole Popovich. And you didn't hear Joe Espada's name mentioned.
Until
he got the job. You didn't hear Cole Popovich's name really mentioned until Strowser got fired. And then it was like, well, what the hell are we doing with this guy Popovich? He was there too. He was teaching him the wrong way too, right? Well, maybe not. And I think the more that we've learned this offseason, it's probably not the case. And in fact, it's certainly not the case. The Texans have, you know, changed their philosophy in terms of the body type and the type of person, player that they want and need on the offensive line. So
they want offensive line to swarm like the defense.
100%. And so I think it's a great thing. It's always good, duh, like when your players are speaking highly, certainly at a time where they don't really have to, of a coach or another player in the offseason. And boy, if you think these are the dog days of summer now, we just a week removed from OTAs, a mandatory mini camp. You just wait here in the next few weeks before training camp. It's going to be dead. And then what? It's going to be literally until the heart of training camp before any of that matters, or it doesn't matter what players and coaches say about each other. But it's encouraging. I like it. You still have to go out there and do it. But if the Texans are going to be an 11-win team, a 12-win team, if that matters much to you, it matters a little bit less to me and more so about what they do in the postseason. How many Super Bowls have the Baltimore Ravens played in the last 5, 6, 7 years? None?
Zero.
You know, and like, and what do they do every single season?
Every year you feel like they got a shot.
They got a shot. That's kind of the area that, you know, the Texans need to be in. Like somewhere
so you're
between,
telling me there's a chance.
Yes. Somewhere between, like, you know, what the Ravens' yearly expectation is versus, hey, now you're in the postseason. Well, now what's the expectation? How many Baltimore fans or people, you know, looking at Baltimore expect them to, hey, go play and compete for a Super Bowl? Like, after a while, when you win 11, 12, 13 games and you don't make it to the final game, you start to lose a little bit of faith. Hey, it's a fun regular season and a really entertaining playoffs.
Playoffs?
For a round or two. And then, boom, you get the boot. Well, Texan fans clearly need to get to an AFC title game for them to feel like their team has improved significantly, right? If they win 10 games again this year, PC, but it's a really convincing 10 wins and it's competitive, they're going to play some really difficult teams just like they do every year. I don't care, first place schedule, last place schedule. Guess who's going to be on it? The Chiefs and the Ravens and all those teams that are going to be there standing
in
your way at the end of the
season.
Other
teams that also play first place schedules?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, sorry, that's not an excuse to me.
No, I just said that.
I know, and I'm not agreeing with you. I'm agreeing with you. What I'm saying is a lot of people, I remember this from last year, people are like, oh, well, they have to play a first place schedule now. So does everybody you play against. You think in Kansas City, they're going, oh, we got to play a first place schedule. How are we going to win games?
Right.
You think they're saying that in Buffalo or in Baltimore? You think they're saying that in Philadelphia?
No.
You think they're saying that right now in Detroit?
No.
Yeah, no. We're the best. We're coming to kick your ass.
Yeah,
look, that's the attitude you should have.
And the kneecap off.
I said that last year when people were, you know, bitching and moaning about, like, the schedule. And look, it was a gauntlet last year. What was it, week 15 through 17?
Yeah, they played the three games in, like, 12 days.
I mean, that sucked. That was stupid.
All of those teams played three games in 12 days.
And you're right. And, hey, may the best team win. And, you know, Texans managed to get through it, and they won a playoff game, and we had a lot of fun along the way, and now it's time to take the next step. This year, you got to play the same, you know, some of the same really difficult teams that you did last year. It's not like this gauntlet, and you should feel better about this team, I think, going into this season, because the one guy, it always comes down to one guy that you hitch everything to, CJ Stroud, this is year three, man. And if everything that you've believed and even have enjoyed the first couple of years, mainly that first rookie season, but I think it was very impressive what he accomplished last year, too.